Morning again. Here we are one more time, or many more times, depending on what happens with the current status of the COVID-19 virus. But we're going to continue our series with the greatest commandment. But first, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this great day. Thank you for your word in our hands, that we have it, that we need to continue to be in it, read it, learn it, live it, memorize it, so that we can live the lives that you want us to live. Thank you for the people who are watching this video or listening to this sermon. We pray that they're continually being encouraged, strengthened, and just honor you with their daily walk. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, again, we are in Mark 12, chapter 12, verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Notice that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important? Which is the greatest?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Today we are on strength. Physical body, the physical strength, the muscles that you have. What is what you do with your worship? Our worship is not just our hearts, just not our spirit, which we worship God in spirit and in truth, but with our body, what we do, how we walk. It talks about walking with Jesus, how we walk, how we conduct ourselves, how we work with our hands. So the muscular system is an organ system consisting of skeletal, smooth, and cardiac muscles. It permits movement of the body, maintains posture, circulates blood through the body. The muscular system and vertebrates are controlled through the nervous system, although some muscles can be completely autonomous. Your heart. You don't have to think about your heart pumping. You don't have to tell your heart to pump. You do have to tell your fingers to move, but sometimes your fingers move or your leg moves or have a little spasm here and there, but your heart is always moving. So you don't have to, that's one of the autonomous ones. It just continually moves. There are around 640 skeletal muscles within the typical body. Almost every muscle constitutes of one part of a pair, biceps, bicep, bicep. Bilateral muscles found on both sides, resulting in approximately 320 pairs of muscles. That's part of it. Part of it is the muscles, your strength of your body. When we were younger, there's things that we can do because of our strength. Younger people working harder, working longer. And as we get older, muscles ache or they atrophy because they're not being used. You find yourself hurting just getting out of bed. The way you move, the way you twist, and your back hurts and it pulls the muscles, it pulls the skeletal muscles one way or another, and it tweaks your back or tweaks your arm or your elbow, tennis elbow, whatever else. But it seems like the young continue to run on forever. They continue to work hard. And as we get older, not that our muscles get weaker, they're just not being used in a different task. And maybe we're just not able to, let's say, use them properly. But we got several verses that we're going to go through. And first one is going to be Philippians 4:13. Let's go to there. Philippians 4:13. Says right here, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Well, who gives me strength? I can do everything through him who gives me strength. The Lord gives us strength. The Lord feeds our purpose on what we want to do, the joy that we have on working with our hands and not being idle, not being busybodies, that we create things with our hands, whether it's even tending a garden, growing a plant, fixing a car, painting a house. We take pride in what we do, on the bodies that God has given us. God has given everybody bodies, whether it's the saint or whether it's the sinner. But we praise and worship the Creator. We give Him glory for the bodies that we have. And even sometimes when we have ailments in our bodies, sometimes it's of our own making. Whether we did things in our youth, smoking, vaping, tobacco use, any of those things. Now we have problems with our lungs. We're kind of hurting our bodies that way. Sometimes we can recover from that. Sometimes alcohol can hurt the liver. Or just some of the things, even the youth things of not riding your bike, or riding your bike without a helmet. Some of the things that we've done in our youth kind of hurt our bodies for the long term. Broken bones or whatever else. But we still praise God because of the bodies that He's given us. The things, the strength that we have that comes through Him. And that's what it says here. 4:13. I can do everything, not just a few things. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. And even some of the ailments that we have, the infirmities or physical handicaps, that allows us to reach other people that have the same or possibly the same handicaps. How can you, walking with a limp, walking with a bad back, walking with brain surgery, how can you praise God easily? I can praise Him through the strength that He gives me. I know that He is with me. I praise Him for the body that I have. Even as wrecked and tormented as it is, I still praise Him. That is part of the strength that we get from God. Let's go to the Old Testament. Isaiah. Love Isaiah. Isaiah is a great book. This is Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So even the youth will grow weary. And we should not be weary of doing good. Even in the times, in the troubled times that we have, we should not be worried or weary about doing good. Because God renews our strength. And that's the other part, that we renew the strength of each other. We encourage each other. We're there for each other. Stay in the Old Testament. Go to Psalms. Psalms 18. And also, if you find 28, put your finger in 28 as well. But Psalms 18. There's 28 there. Let's go to 18 first. 18, 1 and 2. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock, and in whom I take refuge. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. In whom I take my... It's right here, chapter 2, or verse 2. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. Why do you take refuge from? You take refuge from a storm. You take refuge from your enemies. When you're weary, when you're running, when you're tired, refuge, home. When you're traveling a lot and you come home, that's your refuge. And it's good to be home. Well, David here, again, this is when he was being chased by Saul. And this is when he wrote this. The Lord is my refuge. That's where I go to relax, renew my strength, take a deep breath. That's what the house of God is, where we worship, where we come together and we worship. That is where we stop and take our breath from the whole week of the world maybe putting pressure on us, beating down on us, weighing on our shoulders. We take refuge in God's word during the week. But when we come together, again, we encourage each other and we strengthen each other. And this is where we take, I take refuge. In whom I take refuge. And then go over to 28, verse 7. Psalms 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to Him in song. He is my shield. He is my strength. He's protecting us. A shield protects. It covers you from arrows, the slings and arrows of Satan. Things that are coming at you, you bring that up. Also talks about the Word of God. The Word of God is the Word of truth, is our shield. And this is what, again, like last week we talked about the Spirit. This is the antivirus protection from the world. Not that the world is constantly, well, the world is constantly beating on us, wanting us to conform with what they say. But this is where we take our refuge. This is where we take our stand, and this is what shields us and protects us. Now, we talked about here where the young were in Isaiah, where the youth grow weary. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. We'll start there. Do you not know that in a race, all runners run? The only one gets the prize. Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes through strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Run the race. We are on the path. We are on the path of righteousness, following Christ. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Christ has led the way. He's paved the way for us to be with him and the Father in heaven. We are running that race on that path, following Paul, following everybody that you've met who's a good Christian, who's led by example, who is encouraging you, who is living that life. You say, that is who I want to follow. I run the race. I beat my body. I beat my muscles. I train myself to stay on that path. I do not run aimlessly. Aimlessly meaning running here and there and chasing every different thing that you can find that the world has to offer. Whether it's cars, TV, men, women, dogs, cats, whatever. Chasing these things that take you away from God makes you run aimlessly. We are on this path. And what we're trying to do is we're keeping everybody on that path. Narrow is the gate. You heard that before. Narrow is the gate. Wide is the path that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate. We're running straight ahead on the path. Anytime somebody goes out to run a 5K, half K, half marathon, a full marathon, they have to run by the rules. They're going by the rules of this is the path you take. There's no shortcuts. There's no running out this way. Everybody is on that path. And that's where we need to be on. We need to follow those rules. And so we're not running aimlessly. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. This is our training. This is our guide. This is our training manual. This is our operating manual. This is what we follow. Not something that comes from, well, I mean, you could read other books. You can read technical books. You can read fiction, you could read history books, but what we're training ourselves is everything that has to align with this, with the Bible. And that keeps us on that path, the straight and narrow. So that we go into strict training and everything is filtered through the Bible, our world vision. How do we see the world? Are we seeing it through the world's eyes and thinking everything is fine and we can do what we want? Or are we seeing it through God's eyes and we are weeping and in being sorrowful for the people that are out there that are following the world? We know the world is leading to destruction. The world is leading to an end. And we know following that path is not good for our souls. It's not good for our strength. It grows weary on people. It grows weary on us. And when we see the world through Christ's eyes, that world vision that we have, we're not excluding anybody. We want everybody to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. That is what we want. No one's excluded. Anybody walking through these doors, they're welcome. We want them to come and hear the truth. Again, with Resurrection Sunday, that Christ died for them, rose again. Why? Because they couldn't pay for their own sins. My sins, our sins. The world thinks right now that there is no sin out there. They can do whatever they want. As long as they follow the law, maybe they're not hurting anybody else, but sometimes they do. They think everything is fine, but there is a higher law that we follow, and that's Christ. I beat my body and make it my slave. Your body does not control you. You control your body. You make your body your slave. You're taking care of the things that you need to in your body. the medication that you take, the food that you eat. You can continue to eat junk food, again, what the world is selling you. You can say that as far as whatever programs or whatever books you're reading or music or programs on TV, that could be the junk food that's coming into your body. We need to make our bodies our slave and have them nourished with God's word, with something that is wholesome, something that is refreshing, something that is good, something that is nourishing. Not the sweet, quick, satisfying fast food of the world, but really something nutritious, nourishing to our souls, to our hearts, to our minds, to our body. And I make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself may not be or will not be disqualified for the prize. And let's skip over here just a couple pages to 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You were not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. That's what we're supposed to do. That's, again, what's the greatest commandment? We're coming over here. We're sitting there saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. So we're going with all your heart, your thought process, what they used to think was a thought process out of the heart, with all your soul, your spirit, worship in spirit and truth, with your mind on how you think, and with your body. So it's encompassing everything. It's just not a little piece that you're putting here and there. Let's go back a little bit here, a little bit further. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside of his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Somebody paid the price. Christ paid the price. And when we accept that, and we realize that we are not our own, a lot of the little petty things that happen that we think of, this isn't fair, this isn't right. It's like, you know what? Let's rise above that. Let's follow Christ. This is what we need to do. It's difficult. It's hard. First thing a kid learns, a baby learns, is, well, after saying no, when they get a little older, is mine. Mine, mine, mine. And you see that, and we still think the same way. That's mine. That's mine. Don't touch my stuff. That's mine. Still hear that today. I still say that today. And we're still growing, and we still need to get past that. As we lend and help our brothers and sisters out, as we do those things, when I help my brother out and use my money to help fix his car, and he wanted to pay me back, I looked at that and I told him, I said, you know, don't worry about it. Why not? It'll work itself out. It'll all even out in the end. And that's how I, with my brother, with my sister, when she had to take her dogs to the vet, that I gave her money. I don't remember that. She tells me the story. I don't remember. I gave her money. Why? Well, she's my sister and her dogs, but it'll all work itself out in the end. And it does. Does it really matter? No, it just matters that I helped her. Made me feel good. Did I expect the money back? No. Did I expect a favor? No. But she did even it out in the end in many, many different ways. But again, we are here to encourage each other with our bodies, with our strength, what we produce, like the farmer. The farmer's out in the field, or even the farmer's out in the field, making the crops, bringing the crops in, sharing it with, well, you can say the congregation or with the church, with the body. He is encouraged by sharing what he makes with his body, the potter, the carpenter with the house, the potter with the pots. Everybody kind of encouraging each other, sharing with each other. That is where the church is as one body. So when I tell you, especially now with the COVID-19 going around, if you need something, if you need someone to go to the store, if you need someone to help you out, if you need something going on, give one of the elders a call. We might not be able to do it, Maybe we get a team of people over there to help you. Maybe we get somebody to run to the store. Maybe we get somebody to pick up the things that you need, prescriptions, whatever else. But contact us. That's what the body does for each other. This is what we do for each other. We strengthen each other up. We help each other out. But now, let's go to Romans 12, 1. And some of you already know this one. Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And other pastors will tell you when they hear this passage, will say the problem with living sacrifices is that they keep crawling off the altar. They keep changing. David would say that, and we laugh about it. And it's true that we would sit there and present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. This is what I'm doing. This is why I'm, like Paul said, running the race, beating my body into submission to make it my slave to follow Christ. But again, a living sacrifice keeps crawling off the altar. That's why we continue to make or to encourage one another on how we conduct ourselves, how we admonish each other with the word, not from our opinions, but from God's word. This is what we do. Let's go to 1 Peter 5:10. Well, I can go there real quick, if I can find it. 1 Peter. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. He will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. You heard David use this word, parakaleo. A Greek word, I have it written down here, a Greek word to call alongside. It can be translated as counsel, to comfort, console, encourage, urge, appeal, and exhort. Going down, it says to admonish or exhort, to beg, entreat, beseech, to strive, to appease by entreating, to console, to encourage, to strengthen, to by consolation, to comfort. To encourage, to strengthen, exhorting, comfort, or encouraging, to teach, to instruct. When you go through Paul's letters in the New Testament, when he writes these letters, he's always saying, I'm writing this to encourage you. Strengthen yourself. Help one another. Or when he talks about his companions, and Timothy, and even Demas who had abandoned him later on, but say, these are my helpers who have encouraged me, who have strengthened me. You sent these people from you to help me in my time of need. And when they got here, they encouraged me. Encouragement goes a long way. It really does. Encourage one another. After the last sermon on video or audio, I got a text of encouragement. And it really strengthens you. It really does. Because even after doing this, and even after this one here, even after preaching this one here, and even the other times that I preached, it can be weary. And you can think, I could have done better. I should have done more. It could have been this way. I could have used this verse. I could have done this. I could have done that. And you start second guessing yourself at times. And at that time, a nice text came through. And a family down below signed it. Well, they didn't sign it, but they put their names. It was very encouraging. And you can feel the strength in your body, the muscles, the strength in your body being rejuvenated. That's why encouraging words, and I'm guilty of that, but I need to have more encouraging words. Encouraging words are like a salve to a cut, or a refreshing drink on a hot day, or a hot drink on a cool day. It just warms your insides. It just, I can do this again. I can continue on. Not that we're looking for pats on the back or the prize. We're looking for the prize that Christ has given us, but it's encouraging. Who doesn't need encouraging? Not a cheerleader to sit there and falsely say, rah, rah, you're doing a great job. Even to admonish, even to sit there and say, you know, maybe you shouldn't have said this. No, you shouldn't have done it this way. But having encouraging words is very, very refreshing. Let's go to Job. Sometimes you never really get all the way here over to Job. Because of what, well, we know what Job has gone through. And he had his friends come to encourage him. And when his friends came to encourage him, it's like, well, that was really no encouragement. But some of the things that they say help us. By my mouth, but my mouth would encourage you. This is Job 16, verse 5. But my mouth would encourage you. Comfort from my lips would bring you relief. And let's go all the way back to Hebrews. We're going to do Hebrews 3, and also we're going to be in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So Hebrews 3. Verse 13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firm till the end the confidence we had at first. Encourage one another daily. Not rah, rah, rah that you can do it, but hey, keep walking the walk. Hey, I appreciate this. One of the best encouragements that I had was Ray Bailey. Lost my job. And really worried about, had everybody praying for me. Really worried about financially. How is this going to happen? How long am I going to be out of work? How am I going to support my family? Ray Bailey came up to me and said, don't worry. I got you covered. That's all he said. I got you covered. Don't worry about it. Did I need his help? Yeah, I mean, we were doing okay. But it was a great encouragement. Just from him coming saying, I got you covered. Go to 1 Thessalonians. There we go. 1 Thessalonians. And if you go by 2 Thessalonians, it's 2 Thessalonians 2:17. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. With what words? Everything before. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant of those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Christ, that Jesus died, rose again, so that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own words, we will tell you what we who are still alive, who are left till the Lord comes, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. But the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. And 2 Thessalonians, shout out to VeggieTales, 17. Encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. So this is Paul writing. Let's go to the beginning, 16. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and the God of our Father, who loves us, or God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Strengthen you. Again, number one, your body. But when you get encouraged, when you are strengthened by God, there are times that the world wears you down to the bone. That it feels like the weight of everything just happens to pile on you at one day. And God is here to encourage us, to strengthen us. And how does he do it? Well, sometimes through his word. Most of the time through his word. But also with the people in the church. With the family. We strengthen each other. We continue to encourage one another by doing different things in the church. You'll have some people who can help out with the offering, who will greet you at the door, who will help with communion, who will run the food pantry. How about with the bulletins? How about with the sound? You have other people who maybe do not want to stand up and do that. They encourage by their offering. They encourage by giving, their generosity, to help keep the lights on, to help keep the building here for us to worship God. With the smiles that they give when they come in here, who come out here and do yard work. Is it worshiping God, picking up weeds? Well, with all, do everything. Everything that you do, do it for the Lord. Pulling weeds, sure. Singing a song, even if you sing badly, sure. Help with communion, easily. Some of the things that you see here, you see out in the open. A lot of the things that you don't. Sweeping, cleaning, vacuuming. The restrooms. You think, working for the Lord. That's how we help each other out. That's how we encourage each other. But those words, let's pray and encourage one another. Father, thank you for the great and blessed glory of your Son revealed to us, who paid the price. Let us use our bodies as living sacrifices. Continue to be on the altar, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let us find strength and encouragement in that. Even when the world is beating down upon us, let us find strength in your word and with your church and your church family. That is one body. Some parts are standing out, some parts are hidden. That we continue to stay on that path. We follow you as many others have followed you on that narrow path. And we submit ourselves to you as we encourage one another with your words and with our daily walk. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.